thank you all for coming. My report, I guess initially I could say that a lot has happened, but nothing has happened. I guess that would sum it up. First, I'd like to speak to you about the ACT, the state ACT meeting that we attended. Colleen Dinell and Tim Currier and Roger Charlo attended at Cooperstown. And Potsdam Council, my wife June, Roger Linden, the chairperson, and Brian Hughes from Malone also attended. It was interesting. We gained nothing. We did manage to pass a resolution opposing shared presidencies on the college campuses. I think there were six individuals opposed it and two abstained, but it was passed, and I think I sent everyone a copy of that resolution that was passed. During one of the forums they had with Provost LaValle, and the legal from the legal department, Ellerman was her last name, was able to pin her down at that time, at least, that we were under the 1997 guidelines as far as searching for a new president. It took four or five questions directly to her before I could get her to say yes, but finally she caved in, I guess. And then the other forum they had with Brian Huxley, who is the CFO, I guess, at SUNY Central, the student representative of the Board of Trustees, Caitlin Beechner, who was on the Potsdam State College Council as a student member previously, Ken O'Brien, and Admiral Crane, who was former president of SUNY Maritime, I think. I'm not exactly sure what Admiral Crane does, but he's in some kind of advisory position with SUNY Central. But generally, some of the other campuses are concerned about the shared presidents, and some, frankly, are not or don't seem to be concerned. SUNY Albany, Mr. Stein is his name. I think I don't know if he's chair of the college council or not. He opposed it. He saw no reason why their campus should be interested, I guess. Although other campuses, Oswego, Plattsburgh, Oneonta, Delhi, many of the other campuses are interested, including, surprisingly enough, the chair of the College Council from SUNY Downstate, which is, I guess, located in New York City. Someone else can tell me where that campus is.
But Downstate is Stony Brook, right?
Stony Brook.
No.
No, it's in New York City.
Health Science Center is here.
So I thought that was interesting. So there is a great deal of support, but again, the support that we have doesn't seem to get us anywhere. The resolution passed, and I did manage to get in the fact to Provost LaValle that we're spending about 51% of our budget on academics here in Canton and not 32 or 31% at SUNY Central. He disagreed with me, and I told him I respectfully disagreed with him, too, because he had it wrong. I don't know, Dinell, if you have anything else to offer from the ACT conference, any other comments you'd like to make?
Pretty much summed it up for me. Everything that you said was discussed at the ACT conference. The whole time I was like, why isn't Nancy here? She's just hiding from us, and, you know she's done wrong. But, I wanted to talk to her again.
And Danielle was quite eloquent in her remarks.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, I basically, was it Brian Huxley I was talking to? Yeah,
yes.
I think it was Brian Huxley. Regarding that, I still see no reason for this. I'm here at the conference second day, and I'm still not convinced how this is going to benefit our campus. And basically, that the students are still fighting to keep our school independent and to keep our president here.
I remember you using the word ludicrous quite often.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, too.
Crazy. Yes, crazy. And Colleen,
I would say the only comment is they were trying to backtrack from the way they handled the whole situation. You got that, that they all heard a lot from all of us during the weekend. And
but they don't listen. So
that's right. That's right. Correct. Of course, I have nicknames for some of them, but that's all right.
Yeah, Pauline is right. I kind of forgot about Huxley during that meeting where he came as close to making an apology as I've ever heard, but again, like Pauline said, it's not changing anything. The other thing, we did get a chance to talk to Senator Stewart, who represents the district from, I guess, from roughly Ithaca over to the Hudson River in that area. He's the state senator that introduced the there was that tuition bill called the 5-year level. But he had indicated support for Senator Patty Ritchie's bill, which is hopefully will be voted when they come back in session, I guess, in January, with the exception of removing the tail end there where it gave a little bit more power to the college councils. And our indication to him was that we really didn't care about that part of it. They could drop that off in that legislation and it wouldn't hurt anyone's feeling. In other words, we'd go back to where we were before. But he did indicate support, and I feel that if he indicates support, he probably had the chair of the Higher Education Committee, Senate Higher Education Committee, Senator Ken LaValle on board. So that's encouraging, but again, just the unknown, I guess.
And with Patty in the hospital, she had Graham call me after we got back, and I relayed that message. So,
thank you. That's right.
If I'm not mistaken, he's not the first one to give us similar feedback in regards to that bill, am I right?
No.
So I think that, you know, perhaps, and I agree, I think that second part isn't as important to us, obviously, as the first part, so hopeful that we stand even a better chance. I think it stands a decent chance now, but even a better chance if the back part of that was dropped.
Of course, if it's vetoed, then they need two-thirds to get all in. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. But it's encouraging to support, at least. It was interesting, too, with Senator Stewart. We asked the senator how he found out about this, and he said I was at a Coblesville, maybe county fair or something, and one of his constituents asked him about it. He had no idea. Had heard nothing about it, absolutely nothing. I'm sure he was not too happy about that. One other thing I just want to mention, too, and I'm going to get into this under new business. I tried to send you a copy. There's a move afoot now with Board of Trustees to adopt new search guidelines for the president. I hope you got that I sent. Okay. I'll talk to you. We'll talk about that a little bit later under new business. But at the present time, and I relayed this to Dr. Finner, at the present time, because that resolution about changing the guidelines is not going to be brought up before the SUNY Board of Trustees until November 22nd, which is an interesting date in itself, the day that President Kennedy was assassinated, and I guess it's the day that the Chancellor may assassinate public education in New York. But where was I going with this?
But that was a great line.
Give us a chance to enjoy it before you move on.
Okay. But anyway, so at the present time, we are still operating under the search guidelines that were issued in 1997. So we're proceeding with the search committee. At the present time, pretty well, we have all the names except for the faculty. Hopefully those six faculty members will be, those names will be received shortly as soon as they're able to hold the election if necessary. And what I'm trying to do is hopefully have our search committee in place prior to November 22nd. At least then we could see, are they going to pass it retroactively, the guidelines? I don't know, but at least it's just maybe one more thorn in their side if we can do that. So anyway, we're under the 97 guidelines right now until anything else happens. So that's really about all I have, unless you have any questions for me.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
the chancellor still has not responded to your request to panel a search committee.
Right. I've had absolutely no correspondence with SUNY Central in probably a month on any level whatsoever, other than speaking at the ACT conference. And incidentally, under the new search guidelines that we're going to be voting on November 22nd, I got that information anonymously on email. I don't know who sent it to me. And that same email from SUNY Central indicated that that information would be sent to the college councils via the ACT representatives, the state representatives on it. Today, I have received nothing. So officially, I don't know about this. So I guess I may be waiting until maybe November 20th to let the college councils know that there may be a change of thought. So, any other questions I could answer? Thanks. Okay, Dr. Kennedy?
It seems like just yesterday we met.
Joe, could I interrupt just one more?
Sure.
I did forget to say one thing at the ACT conference. We were presented with this. A new, real nice, glossy report, the State University of New York. And it's my understanding that many private corporations in these tough economic times are not making printing documents. But we seem to have money for that. And the interesting thing is the power of SUNY, and I guess they left off SUNY Chancellor. Sorry, Joe.
I forgot what I was going to say. Other people will say most of the same that needs to be said, but let me just touch on a couple of points. And those of you who have tried to reach me lately, I haven't been here. I've been in Florida. I'm going back on another trip November the 17th. I'm going on another trip December the 26th. Hope to be in Arizona sometime in March or April.
Yep.
My goal is to reach out and touch every person who's given a significant gift to the college, and we're working away on that. I mean, it's one thing I can do in my state is to go out and thank the people again for their generous donations to the college. The hard work of our understaffed development office, we have learned. How many people do we have on state payroll, Dave? You told me. Two?
Two.
And Potsdam has?
13.
13. To give you some point of comparison there. But anyway, I actually think we may be closing in on yet another $1 million gift. I don't want to promise that to you, but I feel pretty good about it at the moment. Dave starts twitching. But I feel pretty good about it. And there are other donors out there that I think are being encouraged to donate in spite of the situation. So I think we're making progress there. I have Ryan's report here. I will not go through it word for word if you don't mind, but there are a couple things of interest. Do you remember the alive then dead digester? It's alive again. I now understand that Chris Gray is going to make it happen. That's what his note says right there. It's sort of like dealing with SUNY in a sense here, that it's up and you're down. But anyway, that project is back on task. What is totally down is our program with Bosnia. There's good news on the international front. We're actually graduating the last students from the Moscow State program that must have started 8 years ago. Stacy, does that sound about right? Anyway, there are a couple more graduating from there. The program in Kazan is just doubling in size, and we have a few we've added to in Yalta. In Bosnia, though, they didn't pay their bill until
last Friday.
And so in the process of trying to get them to pay their bill, they got mad with us. They threatened to sue us. They sent us a bill for $1.3 million based upon nothing. And anyway, perhaps the mistake we made is we gave up and turned it over to SUNY. We should never have done that in hindsight. But, you know, we needed legal help. We needed guidance on this. This is a complicated problem. And in the process, SUNY decided that students who continue with us had to pay the full out-of-state tuition, which is three times what we've been charging them, maybe more than three times what we've been charging them. And the net result is the program is likely gone forever. And that's 300 students we won't have this year that we had sort of counted on having. Good news is we got paid for last year. Bad news is SUNY's decided we don't need to do that program anymore. So but that's where that program is. Otherwise, the international program this summer went well. Sri Lanka is sending us students. Oddly enough, Sri Lanka will be sending us full-time students to come to the campus, which will make up for about a fourth of the students we will lose from Bosnia in a financial sense, because they come here and stay as full-time students, and they are much more financially lucrative. At that point, Dave Butler, would you like to make comments?
Just a couple of things, very brief. Dave Button is doing a great job with the Save Our SUNY Camp Task Force. At the last meeting, he reported that of the 34 towns and 8 villages in St. Lawrence County, 20 municipalities have approved the resolution that was developed by the Save Our SUNY Camp Task Force, supporting President Kennedy and a single president. Those resolutions will be going to the Board of Trustees and to legislators.
Will it go to the governor, too?
Yes, I think it will. One other thing, I did have a discussion with Phil Smith about the SUNY IT folks from SUNY Central coming up here to Canton and Potsdam, and he was reporting to the Assembly Higher Ed Committee last week, and he was going to buttonhole the chancellor, but she never showed up. She's keeping a low profile. But he did get David LaValle into a corner, and LaValle repeated again, there will be no labor reduction to the labor force except through attrition. Guess that doesn't apply to you, Joe. But
I just don't see how it works that way.
We're watching it.
Just to be completely honest with you.
We don't see it either. That's why we're trying to stay on top of it.
Which means there are no savings.
Yeah.
Which just makes this really stupid. Anyway. The meeting, there's the Board of Trustees meeting in New York City on the 22nd. Boy, it would be wonderful if Bill would show up and give testimony there in support of us.
There are 5 people from the Save Our SUNY Camp Task Force who will be attending that meeting.
But I'd like to see Phil Smith, the union, or somebody from there.
I'll mention that to Phil.
I just think it'd be a great time to be a Phil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to go right in and vote on this. And if they at least should feel some pressure to know that there are people who don't agree with them.
I'll get in touch with Phil.
Davis, is the list of resolutions passed, you have that?
I do not have it. I checked through my packet, but Dave Button certainly has it.
It was requested to me by Julie Perkman via Bernie Reagan that he wanted a complete list of all of the organizations that have passed. And of course, I'm not involved in any of this discussion. So,
well, would you like me to?
If I can interrupt, because you were talking about Dave was talking about the public hearing November 22nd in Albany. So that's what I had under new business. So you want me to do that right
go
now?
Ahead and do that.
Okay, thanks. The college council members have received a copy of the changes in the search guidelines, and there's a hearing November 22nd, and of course in New York on Thanksgiving week. And you have to let SUNY Central know by November 19th, I think, or something like that, whether or not you want to speak. And if you want to speak, if you have prepared testimony, it has to be under 5 minutes, and there have to be, I think, 7 copies of the prepared testimony. And then, otherwise, if you're not formal, you have 3 minutes, you can request to speak before at the end of the public hearing, I guess. But anyway, and I did get the email from Dave Button indicating that there were 5 people that were going to go down. I replied to him this morning that I would be willing to go. Are there any other college council members that would be willing to go to New York on the bus? It's November 22nd. to Tuesday.
Are you going down and back the same day?
I have, yes.
Yes.
Let me look at my calendar.
If you do have an interest, would you let me know at the earliest, maybe or tomorrow morning, Dave, do you think that'd be time?
Yes, something very.
Sometime early tomorrow morning, if you do have an interest in doing that.
Well, what time of the day is the public hearing?
11 o'clock, I think. I have it right here.
It's going to be an early start for you guys.
Start, yeah. 3 p.m.
You might want to double check. It might be 11, and they told you 3.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. No, it's 3 p.m.
So it won't be an early start, but it'll be a late
late. Yeah, right. So if you can get that information, if you are interested rather in going down, then I'll let Dave Button know, because I think he wants to know by Wednesday noon, something like that, of those that want to attend.
Sounds wrong about that. Usually the public hearing is in the morning, and about noon is the regular Board of Trustees meeting. You don't suppose they're going to have the Board of Trustees meeting before the public comment period, do you?
That wouldn't surprise me. You can pass the resolution and go ahead and take comment.
The timing doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense either.
Is
you're
the right. meeting the next day?
That was my second question.
Oh, possibly. Well, anyway, the other thing, too, is that in talking with Bernie Reagan yesterday afternoon, he had a suggestion, and maybe Dave Butler and Dave Button both may have already talked about it, but what we Bernie thought was important was to gather together all the resolutions that have been passed to date and present them as an official document to the trustees on the 22nd, like the school boards and our resolutions, the ACT resolution, anything that we've got.
Read them each individually.
Right.
For 3 minutes.
And that was a good idea, I think, in the part.
Under midnight.
So that was really the only thing I wanted to cover in new business.
Okay.
So,
well, should we go on and do our reports, Charlie?
Sure. So I'm happy to report that in regards to our academic programs, we do have an update. We have gotten out of the stalled gate from applied psychology. We are back in state ed with some revisions. So I'm very excited that we are making some headway there. It's been a long time coming. So I'm hopeful that we'll see applied psychology by the end of the year. Early childhood leadership has been sent back to us, and we are in the process of doing some revisions, very minimal revisions, so I'm excited that that's going to be reset this week to SUNY as well. So from a very unrosy picture to a little bit more hope with some traction with our program, so I'm very excited about that.
Carly, can I interrupt?
I guess you just did. No.
According to the SUNY website, the Board of Trustees meeting is the 21st and 22nd.
Yeah, just got it.
We just found that.
And the public hearing is November 22nd.
So it's after the fact.
If it's at 3 o'clock on the 22nd.
The public hearing is after the meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
The next day. Not even after, the next day. They pass that around, there it is. Carly, I'm sorry.
No.
I promise no interruptions.
I'm sorry to all of you. I don't have a very exciting agenda, but so after program updates, I just want to let you know about getting back to Dave's comment about an access mission. We really have a pre-college initiative underway, and we're trying to get some infrastructure and parameters around that. And so we're working on things like ending late registration and mandatory placement. So we're trying to refine how we are moving our students through more of a remedial education to get them to college level work immediately. So we're trying to get that going. We are kicking off pre-scheduling week as of yesterday, and we are anticipating full classes. There is a call out for additional online classes for winter term, so we're very optimistic about our enrollments that will either meet or exceed what we saw last year. We received a C-STEP grant that was written through some folks in Wally's area that allowed us to hire a part-time director for the grant, which is focusing on scholarships for students in science and technology and allied health professions. So it's a very exciting grant. It'll help with a lot of services besides just tuition reimbursement. It will help them with when they go to test for a nursing credential, it'll pay for those exams as well. So it's a very positive scholarship program for our students. And we are the last of the four colleges in the North Country to receive that grant. So now we're part of that networking. So that'll even help our students with their mobility to graduate programs between us and Clarkson and SLU. Fort Drum, we are increasing our offerings this next spring at Fort Drum, and so we'll have more of a presence there than we have had in the past. We had a very successful motorsports delivery of that curriculum this fall, and we'll continue that as well as adding some introductory legal studies courses there. We're also looking at being more present, if you will, at the Higher Ed Consortium building on Fort Drum. So we will be having a staff member there once a week to help with the transition of enrolled or listed members into our college curriculum. So we're very excited about moving forward with that. As Dr. Kennedy mentioned, one of the areas which has been a challenge this past fall is the area of Bosnia, losing that enrollment. So we are redoubling our efforts in academic affairs to reach out to our community colleges and work on strengthening our articulation agreements and dusting off agreements made in the past and starting new ones with our new four-year degree program. So I just came off the road last week from visiting four community colleges with a potential pipeline of about 230 students. So I'm very excited that we'll get some additional enrollment for our four-year programs. And just real quick, lastly, I've been working through the CUSP group here on campus regarding strategic planning, and we are working towards implementing an institutional scorecard so we can benchmark ourselves against ourselves on an annual basis. So once that has a little bit more refinement, I'll be bringing it to the College Council for your review. And that is it. That's it.
Not very much to report. Everyone is working hard. Kind of in the middle of a semester, so things kind of level out a little bit. The big thing that this morning, the consultants that have been working on our facilities master plan update presented it to the campus community, and that's kind of the roadmap for 2013 to 2023 as far as buildings and needs and everything that related to that. One exciting thing that I think we'll be looking forward to is we've sort of, one of the priorities is a
gateway building. Block tower.
Kind of. So that would be located in French Hall, because when you come on campus, it's like, where do you go? Then we'll have a direction of where do you go. So you'll be hearing more about that as that moves forward. And that's really one of the biggest things happening in this area.
Dave? Our admissions folks, travel has been very positive so far. Anecdotally, sorry, I didn't quite say that right. Our applications on the SUNY system are up like 32% when the system's apps are down overall. A large chunk of those applications aren't all-inclusive because we have our own in-house application, and our numbers at this point look really strong, but it's way too early to hold that out. We've had good attendance at our two open houses, have another one this Friday. I wanted to report that I, on behalf of Dr. Kennedy, was the moderator, I guess, for Congressman Owens, who held a town hall meeting here last Saturday. Decent attendance. Two of our students asked excellent questions, one on rising higher ed costs and student debt load, one on the shared services initiative. Our college council chair also asked the congressman if he would speak directly to Board of Trustees Chairman Carl McCall, and he agreed that he would. Wanted to give you an update on the wind turbine. We are still in negotiations with NYPA, and one of the congressman's staffers was, and they probably do this to everybody, was gushing with potential money for the wind turbine, which we may need additional dollars if this were to move forward. And finally, before I turn it over to Randy, we had an excellent career fair on campus, strongly attended by employers. And that was positive. Randy?
So one thing I wanted to mention that I don't think we've mentioned yet is that we're at another record enrollment this year. Despite the fact that we have 300 less Bosnian students with us, and I thought that that was going to stop our string of record enrollments, but it hasn't, which is pretty impressive that we've grown that much, and we continue to grow that much even though we lost over 300 students to Bosnia. Our enrollment this year is up over 3,800 with those Bosnian students. We clearly would have been over 4,000, and I think, quite honestly, that we will be over 4,000 without any difficulty next year, particularly as our bachelor's degree retention continues to grow dramatically. And that, I think, is the biggest reason why we saw that the loss of those students didn't affect the strong growth of the college, is that we continue to retain students not only better from year one to year two, but beyond that, to keep students 3 or 4 years. Our third and fourth year enrollments are growing considerably, and it's certainly reflected in the overall enrollment growth. So fourth consecutive year of record enrollment, that's a pretty terrific achievement for everyone. I just passed out a question and answer, basically a popular question in regards to the NCAA, and I'm hoping to get an endorsement from the College Council today to continue to move forward with our NCAA endeavors. This year, as I've mentioned previously, we're in an exploratory year with the NCAA, which is where they get to know us a little bit more and we get to know them a little bit more. We're hoping to move from an exploratory school to a provisional school next year, which basically means that we're all in for moving toward the NCAA. And that would put us on provisional, is almost similar to like a probationary status, in that we would be provisional school for 4 years before, if we don't have any egregious mistakes or violations with NCAA rules and regulations, that we would become a full-fledged NCAA member. As you know, we've participated the last several years as an NAIA school. We made a move last spring to go from NAIA to USCAA. The USCAA is a small but growing organization that caters to primarily small. Its name is the United Small College Athletic Association. And basically, it's a similar body to NAIA, NCAA, but it's much smaller. They're geared toward primarily schools with enrollments of 2,000 or less. One thing with the NCAA is that you need to have 12 athletic teams, and for some of the smaller schools with 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 student enrollments, that's a little bit difficult, or if not impossible for some of those schools. For us, it certainly isn't, as we've experienced this year. Last year we had 9 athletic teams. This year we have 13. We've added 4. Men's golf, women's volleyball this fall, which both had spectacular seasons and couldn't be happier. Women's volleyball just ended this past weekend. They won their last 7 matches, and they finished up 19-14, including a terrific sweep of 2 wins over Cobleskill and 1 over Morrisville the weekend before this past weekend. And they are both NEAC NCAA schools, so we're extremely pleased with that. But their success this year has been tremendous at 19-14, and 13 women on the roster. It's just been spectacular. And our rosters have continued to grow and mirror the growth of the college. I use women's cross country as a terrific example all the time. Last year we had just 2 regular female cross country runners, and this year we've had anywhere from 12 to 13 regular cross country runners all season long, and it's been spectacular. The growth has been terrific. The coach has done a fantastic job, and I think that's really indicative of where we'd like to, all of our programs to continue to head in athletics, but all of our rosters this semester have been very healthy. So we're very pleased with the way we're moving there. This spring we'll add men's and women's varsity lacrosse. We're excited about that. Men's lacrosse has always been a strong sport for SUNY Canton. It's operated as a club over the last 4 years, but we look for their growth to continue. They've always had between 25 and 30 club members. Our coach assures me that we have a good 12 or so that are probably NCAA level players. So I think that even though we'll be a first year team, similar to volleyball, we could win our share of games this year, or at least we'll be competitive, and I don't anticipate any 30-2 losses sort of thing. I think that we'll be competitive out of the gates.
Get that in the middle. Both
those teams.
Wait, what happened with volleyball as a national tournament? Do we know?
Volleyball?
Yeah.
I spoke to the USAAA yesterday, and unfortunately our volleyball team's on the outside looking in at the national tournament right now. They take 10 teams. But they've only got confirmation from 9 teams and said that we would be the next one in if that college decided not to go to nationals. They got their bid on Friday, and they haven't accepted it yet. We're hoping to hear this afternoon whether or not volleyball will go to nationals.
Soccer is not going.
We're very disappointed in that.
That's unfortunate.
We felt our men's soccer team was one of the top 3 or 4 USCAA teams in the nation. We're not going to nationals. They have the top 8 going to nationals, although only 5 at-large bids because 2 are automatic qualifiers within conferences and 1 is the host. So there are only 5 available. But we played the top-seeded team in our last weekend, and we lost 2-1 on Saturday, and we tied them 0-0 on Sunday, and they were just spectacular games. And that's a team that's been rolling over teams 8-0, 9-1, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. The number 2 team in the nation, we went to their place this year, and we were up 2-0 with 15 minutes to go, and they were awarded 3 penalty kicks, all 3 questionable. We were a little bit concerned about the home cooking with the officiating, not to be that guy who says, you know, the fix was in or anything, but it was pretty obvious that their players were taking dives and they were getting the calls. They got 3 penalty kicks. We stopped one. We ended up in a 2-2 tie there, but all of our goals were scored. The old-fashioned way, theirs were scored on penalty kicks in the last 15 minutes. We ended up in a 2-2 tie. So.
Doesn't sound bitter, does it?
No, not bitter at all. So, you know, those are the number 1 and 2 teams in the nation. And then the other teams that we played 2 of the top 10 teams and beat them. And I think our goals for were 22 and goals against were 4 against teams other than Fort Kent, which was the number 1 team in the USCAA. So, yeah, I'm bitter. Only for the athletes and the coach, really, because they really worked hard. And their season was spectacular. I think they finished at 12-7-3. We got a victory over Oswego. We had a victory over City of the University of New York at Lehman. We tied St. John's Fisher. They really played some top NCAA schools and played everybody straight up. So that program is really kicking off. I'm really excited about that. I could go on, but I'll try to move this along. But I did speak. Sorry, I was a little late this morning. I was on the phone with the commissioner of the Northeast Athletic Conference, which is a conference that we were hoping to try to get into the NCAA. They've got a meeting today, which they're considering having us join the NEAC. Whether or not they make a decision on that today, I'm not sure. But they would. That's the conference that includes Cobleskill, Morrisville, SUNY IT, Cazenovia, Keuka, Wells College in New York State, and then they have a number of schools in Pennsylvania as well. But that's the conference that we feel we fit best in. I think from an enrollment standpoint and a profile standpoint, that our college really matches up well with. And we play a number of those colleges, compete very well with them. Sometimes they win, sometimes we win, and I think that's the perfect level for us to be at right now. Some of the SUNYAC schools, if you consider joining the SUNYAC, schools like Cortland and Fredonia and Plattsburgh are schools that have a lot higher enrollment than us and have a long history of success in athletics. And I think where we want to work our way up there, and in different sports we can compete with them, but right now I think we're a much better fit for NEAC as opposed to SUNYAC, although we would like to play some of those teams in sports as well. So, as you look at that, considering moving to the NCAA, I just think it makes sense for us. I think we've certainly outgrown NAIA and USCAA. We also have to travel ridiculously long bus trips to get some of those schools in the USCAA and the NAIA. We're surrounded by NCAA schools, and I think from a school branding perspective and a image perspective, it makes sense to play these schools closer to us, primarily in New York State, where we can also recruit our athletes and other students as well much better by focusing on playing New York State teams and in the NCAA.
Ron, would you like to go ahead and take that up and make the motion now?
Sure.
By skipping around.
Well, what's this? We're kind of operating under the guideline of SUNY Central.
We'll take public comment tomorrow.
The chair will entertain a motion for Randy for the, how shall I put it, entry?
To move forward with our
move forward into with the NCAA.
So moved.
Moved by Tom Sauter, second.
Second.
Second by Cecily. All in favor? I'm sorry, any discussion? Sorry. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Carrie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are we down to Molly?
Yep, we're down to me. Just a couple major things since we talked last time. We did get some PR for our tobacco-free, so you can calm down now. It was an awful rant. He was a little worried. But SUNY is getting together, task force, and the other SUNY schools are going into that direction as well, so we'll see that soon. I don't know, Dave, did you have anything you wanted to talk more about with the student assembly or other things?
Well, just what I said before about the resolution that was passed. It was a good conference. A lot of students, I might pronounce this school wrong, but
Oneana?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That school and the other schools, I have the contact sheet, but they said we need their assistance going to anywhere. I don't know if that's on. but in the future, any help regarding our school, they'll be outside in our corner. So that was good.
The other thing that was mentioned earlier is we do have a SUNY team here looking at our IT.
One thing that was kind of interesting at the state ACT meeting with Danelle, there was most of the questions, I guess all of them were really pretty serious, except Danelle, when she gave her presentation or questioning the provost, she went on to say that she was familiar with SUNY Potsdam, because in fact she has a sister that had just recently graduated from SUNY Potsdam. She'd been on the campus several times and was familiar with the campus, and she was going on to explain the different missions of both Canton and Potsdam. And then all the clue blue skies, the only thing I liked about SUNY Potsdam was their food. So I kind of broke it up a little bit, Lee. Thank you. Sorry.
I think we're through. I missed somebody.
Okay. Any other questions for any of the reports? So on. Before we adjourn, I'm moving around. You received a copy of the minutes of the September 27th meeting. The chair would entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Coann, second.
Second.
Dr. Burke. Mm-hmm. Any corrections, additions, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. I just have one question for Cecily Morris, since she was late. You may or may not know that Cecily is a candidate for family court judge. I know in certain courts, judges are allowed to fine attorneys if they're late for court. Does that also apply to family court?
Actually, I tried to get to work at 7:30 this morning so that I could get the get over here on time, but I didn't get to work till 8.
Well, I was just, it's just a question.
You can fine me all you want. You can't get blood out of the stone. I apologize to everybody
her
for that.
Entire salary for today, for she gets paid to be a college counsel member.
Oh, well, okay. Double or so.
Double.
Yeah. Okay. I do apologize. I looked at the clock and I went, oh my God, it's 9, and I was running down the stairs to get
I'm sure. You're forgiven.
Thank you. Thank you.
General absolution. Anything else to come before our meeting today? Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Tom, second. Coann, opposed? Carrie, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
One question before I go, Joe. Has anyone attended the trustees meeting before? Because I haven't.
I have, but never understood.